to Stuttering 101, facts, information, and straight talk about stuttering. But first, a disclaimer. The information in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for seeking personalized speech therapy services from a speech-language pathologist licensed to practice in your area. Further, we do not intend to create a therapist-client relationship with any listener. Eric, in past Stuttering 101 episodes, we have spoken about a lot of speech tools and strategies such as stuttering modification, fluency shaping, voluntary stuttering, pausing, cancellations, advertising, pullouts, preparatory sets. How do we begin to combine and integrate all of these different strategies and ideas?
That's a really good question, Peter. I think the first step is to really pick a couple of speech tools that you want to use, that you're comfortable using, finding the speech tools that work for you, and then really getting comfortable with those speech tools. For me, for example, I really like to use self-advertising, voluntary stuttering, and then a little bit of that speech tool that I like to call exaggeration, which is a little more of the fluency shaping side of things. What I did first was I would go out and just work on self-advertising. So I would either make phone calls and tell people that I stuttered over the phone, or I would go out and do surveys and tell people that I stuttered, just finding ways to talk about stuttering and to bring stuttering out into the open. Then I worked on just voluntary stuttering. So I would go out to stores. Really, it didn't matter. Wherever I was, where there were people around, that was a good opportunity for me to practice these speech tools.
Right.
You know? So I would just work on voluntary stuttering. Maybe I'd designate a day or even just an hour or something where voluntary stuttering was it. Then I would do the same thing with the speech tool exaggeration. I would just focus on that. After a while of doing that and really giving it my all and really trying to get into those speech tools, I got a little more comfortable. And then I got to a point where I became comfortable just using them interchangeably. For example, self-advertising and using fluency shaping. For example, I would say something like, my speech might sound a little slow today. It's because I'm a stutterer. I'm working on managing my speech. If there's anything that you miss, if there's anything that's unclear, please ask me to repeat myself. And that's a perfect example of really getting the best out of both of those two completely different speech tools.
So to summarize, you worked on speaking strategies and approaches in isolation. So first, you worked on telling people that you stuttered. Then you worked on stuttering openly through voluntary stuttering, and then you worked on reducing the frequency of your stuttering by using fluency shaping strategies, and then you found ways to bring them all together to meet specific needs at specific times. Is that about right?
Exactly. And just one more thing to add to before we move on here is that there was a time period in my life when I first learned all of these tools, and I learned them at the same time. But what I did was I would designate certain times just to work on the specific tool. So that's how I would work on them in isolation. So, Peter, when you first started using speech tools and when you first started becoming comfortable with using speech tools out in the, quote, real world, how did you start integrating the speech tools?
Yeah, that's a really important question, Eric. The thing with me is that I grew up trying not to stutter. And so as a speaking strategy for me, that wouldn't have been a great place to launch my changes in life. So my first goal was realizing that I had to stutter openly and start talking about stuttering. So really those, and I had to start meeting other people who stutter just because I felt so isolated and alone. So at first, my strategy was to stutter on purpose, to get used to hearing myself stutter, to stop running from my stuttering, and then to have some stuttering out there so I could work on it. I worked on telling people I stuttered, such as my professors and my employer, and I also focused on meeting other people who stutter. Once my stuttering was out in the open and I wasn't avoiding so much anymore, I started working on a strategy that we've talked about called pausing. So I was reducing my frequency of stuttering by throwing in pauses between every couple of words. Now, that speaking strategy has been very beneficial and helpful to me, but it would have been no use to me at all if I hadn't also worked on stuttering openly. So once I started stuttering openly, and once I started being able to reduce the frequency of my stuttering, I found myself still stuttering occasionally and not knowing what to do. So I started working on some of the stuttering modification techniques, like I just showed you, a pullout on modification. So I started working on cancellations, pullouts, and preparatory sets. And at this point, I use speaking strategies and approaches as I need them. I mean, for example, we were recording some videos last night, and both of us were catching the other using a little avoidance behavior. So we both started using some voluntary stuttering because it's like, wait, why am I falling back into this? So I think what you said in the first part is very important. We learn these tools in isolation, and then we find ways to put them all together. Now, what I love about stuttering tools is you can work on things that might seem contradictory or different at the same time.
So can you give us an example of that? Tell us what speech tools might seem contradictory and how you would use them together?
Oh, sure. When I was in graduate school, I would give a presentation and use pausing like I'm doing now. But I would start the presentation by saying, hi, my name is Peter Reitzes. I'm a person who stutters. So I was using pausing to reduce my frequency of stuttering, voluntary stuttering so that I could get my stuttering out in the open and not be afraid of it, and advertising so my listeners knew what was going on and so that I reminded myself that stuttering openly is okay. Then, on top of all of that, if I got stuck in a hard block, I could throw in a cancellation. Now, this might sound easier said than done, but really by focusing on the tools in isolation and then by giving myself assignment after assignment. Like, for example, I carried around a little notebook for years, and I would have assignments in it, like use pausing and voluntary stuttering, use cancellations and some type of exaggeration. Oh, and also I want to point out that I learned speech tools that I don't really use. Like, I know fluency shaping strategies, and they're beneficial for many, but I choose not to use them. So just because we practice a speaking strategy or try things out doesn't mean we have to stick with it if it's not for us. I've even tried these delayed auditory feedback and frequency altered feedback technologies, and they're not for me, but I felt like I should try them.
Yeah, I just like to add another point about advertising and just about bringing stuttering out into the open that way by talking about it. Okay. It could really create the type of environment where you feel more comfortable, you not only just stuttering, but using speech tools as well. I mean, what do we always say? Self-advertising is giving yourself permission to stutter, but it's also giving yourself really permission to use speech tools because, let's face it, a lot of these speech tools, a lot of the things that we do to manage our stuttering, they sound a little funny, and they could be perceived as sounding strange to other people, and that makes some of us uncomfortable. So by just saying that, oh, I stutter, and I might be using some speech tools today, and it might sound a little strange at times, or it might sound a little funny at times, but this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm doing. It's just so helpful to this whole process of transitioning from using speech tools in a comfortable environment to actually using speech tools where it matters, outside the therapy room.
Okay, Eric, do you have a pencil in hand?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to write this down. I'm going to give you an integration challenge. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I want you to speak using fluency shaping, or what you call exaggeration, the whole time. I want you to then use some voluntary hard stuttering, followed by a cancellation, followed by a pullout. Can you do that in a sentence or two, but no more? Okay.
So I have a doctor's appointment today at 1:30, and I'm going to have some lunch, and then I am going to go to my doctor's appointment.
Excellent modeling, Eric.
Okay, Peter, now that you've challenged me, I think it's only fair that I get to challenge you with something.
All right.
So, do you have a pen in hand?
Pen in hand.
I would like you to use pausing as your sort of base tool, so using pausing throughout. Then I would like you to use a little bit of voluntary stuttering.
All right. Hard or soft?
Hard voluntary stuttering. And then somewhere within that, because, you know, some speech tools help us use other speech tools, I would like you to use a cancellation during some of that voluntary stuttering.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Go ahead.
For breakfast this morning, I made some potatoes and eggs with jalapeno peppers. How was that, man?
Very good, Peter.
I think to recap here, first, you got to figure out what your goals are, what you really need to focus on. And that's tough, being completely honest with yourself. I mean, for example, I work with a guy now who really doesn't have to work on stuttering openly. Right at this point, this person has to really focus on changing how they stutter, and they're aware of that. So I think it's important to really identify what your needs are, to identify and work on specific strategies in isolation, and then work on ways to integrate and pull these strategies together.
And let me just jump in here too. That point about being honest with yourself about choosing speech tools, choosing what works right for you, I think it's so important because for a lot of people that stutter, the self-advertising tools and the voluntary stuttering stuff, that could seem a lot harder for a lot of people. I think we all know what we really need to work with our stuttering, right? So chances are, if something is really hard for you to do, it might be a good tool to explore. I'm not saying that you should use that tool all of the time, and that should be your designated tool. But I think you should at least give those tools a chance.
All right, you've been listening to stuttering101.com. Thanks, Eric.
See you, Peter.